Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to the program here. The phones are open, as always, should you wish to join us. You can bring up anything you want to talk about. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian here tonight. Jay Noon will be joining me shortly. He had a very long day, so he's running a little bit late. But again, phones are open, 603-283-6160. Going to start out tonight with a shocking story. I mean, not shocking as in, like, grotesque or anything like that, but shocking as in I was surprised when I found this out. According to a gentleman who we've talked about a few times here on the program in the past, Press NH Now, his real name is Mark, and he is a First Amendment auditor, as they call it. And this is sort of like the new term for somebody that does cop blocking or cop watching, but he takes it to a different level because First Amendment auditors will target any government bureaucracy. It doesn't necessarily have to be the police. It's just the police tend to get called a lot on people like Press NH Now because they are exercising their rights. And these days, exercising one's rights gets the police called on you. And so, of course, once they get their claws into you, as we've learned here over the years on Free Talk Live, they like to keep coming back for more, even though, you know, Mark is or Press NH Now, he's a hard target. He's somebody who knows his rights. He's willing to stand up for his rights. He's willing to be arrested over his rights and your rights as well, because when he's doing these things. And he's not the only one. There are, I don't know, hundreds of these activists all across the United States. It seems like it. There's certainly dozens of them, maybe over 100 of them. I don't know if anybody's ever, like, tried to catalog how many of the First Amendment auditors exist out there. But they do really good work. I wish we had another dozen of them here in New Hampshire. But Press NH Now is one of the big ones out there, as far as I can tell. He's certainly very consistent. He's out there all the time doing stuff. And recently he encountered the Hillsborough, New Hampshire police, which, like a lot of small town cops, are notoriously corrupt. And he encountered them back in August. He and his girlfriend were driving through Hillsborough for some reason or another. You kind of have to drive through it if you're on Route 9 here in New Hampshire, fairly common state road here out in the southwestern New Hampshire. And anyway, I don't know where they were. Maybe they were in town or whatever. But some Hillsborough cop ran their plate, called it into dispatch, because that's what cops do. You know, like, they give dispatch the plate number. They look it up. And dispatch came back with the claim that there was a restraining order against Mark. And they believed that the person for whom the restraining order was originally written, and what I mean by that is the person who originally requested the restraining order, his girlfriend was in the car with him at the time. Now, rather than research the restraining order and confirm that it was actually in place, the police just pulled him over, and there's video footage of this from both Mark, Press NH Now, and from the police body cams, and that's what I want to talk about tonight specifically, is the body cam footage. So the footage is out there now on the Press NH Now channel. It's also been posted to a blog over at freekeen.com. It's the top story there right now. And in this footage, the police officer from Hillsborough, I think there's two officers involved. I don't know if the second one showed up later. I think he did. But an officer pulls him over on the say-so of dispatch, dispatch claiming that this restraining order was still in place. And the officer proceeds to investigate, because he has to determine whether or not the tattooed woman in the passenger seat is indeed the person who had gotten the restraining order against Press NH Now. And he is ultimately able to determine that it is one and the same person. He has Press arrested for allegedly violating this restraining order at first. Now, both Press NH Now and his girlfriend are telling the officer in the video that he's mistaken, that dispatch is wrong, this restraining order has been removed, that the restraining order is no longer in place, and it was removed all the way back in January. And they say, look, just check your records, and you will see that this is done, okay? So you can go and do this, and then let us go, because obviously she has no problem being with me. She's in the front seat of my car. She's telling you that you can just go away, okay? So you don't... I mean, it would be one thing if she was being kidnapped by him or something like that, but no, she's telling the officer the same thing he is. She's saying, you can just go ahead and research this and see that there's no restraining order. So why don't you do that? And he just doesn't do it. He doesn't look it up. He just arrests Press NH Now and then later ends up charging him. Not with violating the restraining order, because later he does look into it and determines that, yes, indeed, the restraining order was lifted earlier this year. So later he charges Press NH Now with, and I think it's in this Freekeen article at freekeen.com, I don't want to get it wrong, the charge was originally disobeying an officer, but they later changed that to resisting detention. Now, this is allegedly because Press NH Now did not get out of the car fast enough when the police was giving him an illegal order to get out of his car. And welcome to the show, Jay.
Hey, thanks for having me. They love charging people with, like, you know, resisting arrest, or what was it, failure to detain? Resisting detainment?
Resisting detention.
Resisting detention.
Which is different than resisting arrest,
so,
right?
So was he, like, enrolled in a school where he's, subject to a detention?
No, this is the legal term that they use when they are investigating an alleged crime, right? So if you've been detained by the police, it's a different legal status than being arrested by them. It feels the same because
until
you're not
you
free to leave.
And when, then it becomes unlawful arrest. A real
indeed
good court case for people to look into, internet searches. It's Travis Vant versus Tampa. And basically, the award worked out to, like, I don't know, $23,000 a minute or something for this unlawful arrest. A guy was basically arrested for, like, 20-something minutes. And anyways, detention, this is just garbage, you know.
It's another word for you don't have the freedom to leave. Now, you may or may not be put in handcuffs during the detention.
You're under arrest is what it is, and looks like...
The difference, I think, Jay, legally, and I'm not a lawyer, okay, so check with your lawyers to confirm whether or not this is an accurate statement, but the difference between a detention legally and an arrest, as I understand it, is the detention is the part that precedes being arrested. You may or may not be arrested while you're detained. While you're detained, the officer is trying to determine whether or not he has probable cause to arrest you, as I understand it. So once you've been arrested, then they have to charge you with something, typically. And if you're being detained, in theory, the officer could find, as he should have found in this case, that there was no reason to arrest somebody because there was no protection order in place. It had been removed by the courts back in January of this year. And I know you weren't necessarily here for the first few minutes of the show, but just to bring you up to speed, we're talking about Hillsborough, New Hampshire police arresting Press NH Now. Mark, who is a First Amendment auditor, and he was arrested for having a restraining order that didn't actually have an effect. It was gone. It had been gone for months. He tried to tell the police this. His girlfriend tried to tell the police this, but they didn't listen. They just wanted to arrest him for not getting out of his car quick enough, basically. And so even though the police were wrong, and it's documented that they were wrong because they found out later, oh, whoops, doesn't look like this restraining order is in place. Well, we're just going to charge him anyway because he didn't get out of the car quick enough.
I wonder if these were the same Hillsborough police officers that were involved with violating and beating, you know, Lumpy and his girlfriend last year. Lumpy's girlfriend
Good question.
Really got roughed up really bad. And she, I don't know if you remember her.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know,
yeah,
she's a little lady. She's not, you know, maybe 105 pounds soaking wet. And I saw her a couple days afterwards. She was all swollen up. And they really roughed her up bad.
Yeah.
Lumpy's a bigger dude. He can take a beating. I'm not sure exactly sure what the outcome was.
This one's name is Bannister, the one that did the arresting in this case. William Bannister is his name.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the guy involved.
I've definitely heard that name before, Bannister.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Lumpy a text and see.
So I'm telling you about this case to bring you up to the current time.
Yep.
So this happened in early August when the pullover happened, when the wrongful arrest happened. They charged him with this thing. And so this guy stands up for himself. Press NH Now. It's his channel on YouTube. You should go check him out. He does great work. And you can go watch this video if you want, because as of next week, the video may be taken down, and we'll get to why that might happen here in a moment. That's really the reason why I wanted to talk about this. Because if you want to see him go up against plenty of cops, there's, I don't know, hundreds of videos on his channel. I don't know how many videos he's got, but it's a lot. And so he gets charged. They release him, right? You know, he gets bail. He's out, and they give him a court date. And so he's going to go to court because that's what activists like this do.
Sure.
He stands up for his rights. It's his right to record the police. It's his right to stand up for himself if the police are in the wrong, and they absolutely were in this case. So he's going to go to trial. He's not going to take a plea deal. He's going to make them put him on trial, make them find him guilty, if indeed that's what happens. The last time he was on trial in Charlestown, New Hampshire, was a court in... it's not in Charlestown, but it's, you know, these are small towns. But it's over on the west side of New Hampshire, the Claremont District Court. He won that case when the Charlestown police were coming after him for suggesting to his viewers that they contact the Charlestown Police Department and let them know they're unhappy with how their, you know, crappy police and their police chief were operating.
Actually, what would the, and a proper way to really suggest that the police, that you don't like what the police are doing, is through a written affidavit sent certified mail directly to the chief of police, and also CC and sent it and send a copy of that written affidavit certified mail to the local legislature, or pick a New Hampshire legislator that you like.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bottom line is, if you live in New Hampshire, you under the Constitution in New Hampshire, something that's been ratified recently, you have a right to sue the state. They use the term taxpayer. I don't really like that term, taxpayer. I definitely don't like, you know, because a taxpayer is like a legal fiction. That needs to be a little different. But if you are basically in New Hampshire and you buy a gallon of gas, you paid some taxes, you know, if you got,
you got standing,
you have standing. And
okay.
Pretty much anyone has standing to sue. And what is happening is these bad police officers, which are everywhere, which have qualified immunity, which means they have they're incentivized to be irresponsible. And then when you have generations upon generations of state employees, town employees, federal employees that enjoy qualified immunity, what develops, you get an irresponsible culture of bad actors. You get, and it is ripe for predators. You get predators that working for the state because they want to be able to wield this power because they know they'll be protected. This is why the social workers in DCYF just lie in affidavits, because they don't get, you know, nothing happens to them. But the best way to do this is what is called a affidavit, and in the affidavit you point out what's going on, you know, that these police officers are doing bad things, mm-hmm. and you don't like it because you are being held liable. Because if you own land, for example, in Hillsborough, New Hampshire, where there's going to be probably a lawsuit, where or hopefully there'll be a lawsuit, and then what's going to happen is going to be some kind of settlement. And that,
you mean in this case?
Yeah, this mm-hmm. case. And I'm sure with the one in Charlestown, he should be working on some kind of lawsuit. I don't know if he is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because, you know, he beat the case. They took his time. I mean, when I did my fee schedule with DCYF, I says, guys, I require $50,000 an hour for each hour of my time you take.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me how much my time is worth. My time actually, you know, as far as I'm concerned, my time is extremely valuable. I got two little children. And so my time is valuable. And if I'm screwing around with the state, for any reason whatsoever, they're consuming my time.
Yep.
I require $50,000 an hour. So an affidavit stating what's going on, stating
normally
that,
you charge way less, but that's when you're doing something you want to do.
Right.
In this case, you don't want to do this
right.
stuff.
This is not voluntary. They're forcing me to. They're consuming my time under threat, duress, and coercion. Mm-hmm. Essentially, if we don't appear at court, if we don't do paperwork,
right.
we don't do the research to get things done. So. Affidavit stating what you don't like's going on, stating that you are being held liable for this bad activity because you're forced to pay taxes. If you don't mm-hmm. pay taxes, men with guns will appear and, you know, either put you in a body bag or, you know,
sure,
whatever. So you're forced to pay these taxes. And in the affidavit, you demand that the executive officer, being the chief of police, for example, do something about this. You demand that the legislative officer, being the town selectman, town council, state representative, whoever.
Yeah, but you know they're not going to do anything about it. So what's the point?
What is the point? Because this is how you set them up to instruct them to do this. This is how the people have to interact.
They're just going to throw it in the circular file.
There's just evidence that they're incompetent. They're not doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a really good affidavit I'm working on right now that we're going to be addressing the New Hampshire legislature with. The legislature is going to get this affidavit. The governor having to do mostly with DCYF and the fact that, you know, they have all of these.
It's the Department of, what is it, Division?
Division, yeah.
Division
it's not
of
Department,
Children,
it's Division.
Youth, Families, or something?
Division of Children, Youth, and Families. So that's what they do. They divide
they
children,
destroy people's
youth,
families.
Families. And then they have these tribunals that aren't even judicial courts called family court, which they just have these ex parte hearings, and they just rubber stamp everything that whatever, you know, social worker or state employee says. Based on what I can tell, they give them everything
they want.
Are they
going to be forcing you into one of those soon? Administrative hearings?
Well, so there is an administrative hearing that we're waiting for a date on.
Okay. Still waiting on that. Okay.
We haven't heard back from them yet. But we're going to be going to that administrative hearing.
I hope I can go to that.
We're going to be inviting some state legislatures they can see firsthand what
absolutely.
Bad actors these guys are.
See how this government works.
Right, because it needs to be shut down.
This is the government that these people are responsible for. Now, I understand that the state reps who are in there now, they didn't create DCYF, but they could do something to get rid of it. They could, and I've heard rumor there might be a bill. Have you seen anything about this, Jay, that I know you were talking with state reps within the last few weeks about possibly filing some sort of legislation to abolish DCYF? Has that happened?
I don't know if that particular bill has been filed yet, but that was certainly some intention.
Well, they had to do it last week.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's been done. I haven't paid attention to much in the last week. I'm, you know, I'm chronically busy.
Sure.
But there's we talked about abolishing DCYF at the with the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance summit I went to. We talked about requiring the social workers to have oaths of office,
don't.
Yep, they don't have any oath to a constitution.
Not that that really helps very much. I mean, look at what the police do. They have an oath to the constitution.
Some
and they
of them
violate
do.
It all the time.
Some of them do. I don't think the state police have an oath to the constitution in New Hampshire because
really?
I talked to a guy a few days ago, and he said he did a public records request for an oath of office with a state trooper, and they said that they didn't have it on file.
Well, the next time that anybody's got a state trooper on, the stand at a, you know, some sort of criminal trial, you could ask them that question.
Yes. In fact, we need to ask that of judges. Judge, do you have an oath of office? And if his answer is yes, and then what needs to happen, I accept your oath and I bond you to it.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that you accept his oath and that you and you and you actually bind him to it, you know, which is basically all you're doing is saying that you're going to hold him to his oath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a much that you can do to hold them to their oath other than utter the words.
Right.
You know, but
because they are the ones who would have to do something about it,
right,
to themselves.
But it puts it on notice.
Mm-hmm.
What would be a better thing is if you could get a certified copy of their oath of office and then file it actually into the court. Say, I have evidence here of an oath and I'm going to bind you to your oath. Just some, you know, some stuff I've been researching that you can do to have some fun.
It sounds like courtroom magic words to me, and I would love to see somebody actually try this to see what happens when you do these things.
Well, we'll be going to Superior Court with my wife's thing here. Mm-hmm. You know, next couple of they have a date that's right smack dab in the middle of you know, a time we're going to be out of town, so we motion for a continuance.
That's going to be what, October something?
Yeah, I think they did a date for October 12th. Okay. We put in a motion to continue it.
Well, because, as we get closer to that, we should talk more about it. I don't want to go too far away from this particular story because there's the most outrageous part is still to come.
Let's get into
I've just been telling you about what happened on the side of the road, and as bad as that is, that's not too uncommon. Normally, the police are behaving badly. Normally, they're going to abuse your rights, and that's just pretty typical. If you're a First Amendment auditor or a cop block activist or any kind of police accountability activist, this sounds like a pretty standard story. Police abusing their power and arresting somebody for some nonsense reason. That's pretty common. But it's what came next that was the real shock. And so as I was explaining, Press NH Now is his name. His real name's Mark. He's got this YouTube channel. It's Press NH Now. You can go and check it out. It's worth a watch. But this video that he posted just some number of days ago, in regards to the footage of him getting pulled over and harassed and then ultimately arrested for a restraining order that didn't exist.
Oh, they actually just pulled him over to try to arrest him for a restraining order?
They pulled him over because dispatch told them that a restraining order was in place.
So now there's a conspiracy between several of these guys to infringe upon his rights.
But the restraining order was not in place, and in fact had been out of place. It had been gone since January, and this was happening in August. And rather than research the claims that these two were making, that Press NH Now and his girlfriend, both in the car together, were saying, look, this is not in place. Just look into it, and you'll find out that's the truth. Cop just wanted to arrest him.
And what was the restraining order for?
Apparently, as I understand it, there was some sort of an incident that he and his girlfriend had late last year, and he put his hand on her car door or something, and that was unwelcome, I guess. There was no violence. It was a nonviolent thing.
Same girlfriend?
Yeah, but they had an issue, and she unfortunately pulled a restraining order against him, and then they sorted things out. I don't know if they, you know, went to couples therapy or whatever. I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but they sorted things out, and now they're back together, and they're happily living together here in Keene.
Yeah, there was a girl who wanted to rent a room off me a few years ago. And I knew she had gotten a restraining order against somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my reason. No, I don't want you at my place. I only want you anywhere around.
But, you know, he forgave her or whatever. Sure. She forgave him or whatever it was. And they're back together. So they're driving around together as a couple would do. And so the fact that they were together and that this girl, the girlfriend, wasn't upset about it, right? Like, she's telling the cop, look, this restraining order is not in place. Please don't arrest my boyfriend, right? Like, isn't the whole point of a restraining order to stop someone who you don't want around you from being around you? Well, she wants him around her. But that's not even the ridiculous part, the most ridiculous part of this. What happened after he released this video footage is he received this week a threat, a motion from the prosecutor in this case, asking the judge at the district court to file a protective order against Press NH Now. We'll tell you why coming up.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News update. A fatal crash involving a charter bus carrying Farmingdale High School's marching band happened in New York today, leaving one dead and more than 40 injured. The incident took place about 70 miles north of New York City. Five people, identified as young, are in critical condition. The White House is defending its border policies as migrant crossings are surging. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We have worked very hard. The president has worked very hard to implement a strategy when it comes to the border that is humane, safe, and has orderly enforcement. That is something that we have tried to do and worked really hard to do these last 2 years.
However, she stressed it's imperative for Congress to take action in passing comprehensive immigration reform. A tropical storm warning is being issued for parts of the East Coast this weekend. The National Hurricane Center issued the warning from just below Wilmington, North Carolina, up to the Maryland-Delaware state line. John Schaefer, USA News.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You are invited if you want to join the show here, talking about what a story that surprised me. Not a lot that surprises me these days. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by it, but we'll tell you what exactly happened here in just a moment. In case you want, you can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. It's Ian and Jay here in the studio tonight. And this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Dash is digital cash. It's a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized, autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of Dash's mining rewards go into a treasury. And anybody that has one Dash to spend, and right now I think a Dash is less than $30, If you got one Dash to spend, you can put forward a proposal to the Dash Masternodes. The Masternodes vet those proposals, and they decide which ones move forward and get funded by that treasury. And nowadays, these decentralized autonomous organizations are plentiful. They're all over the crypto world, but Dash paved the way by doing it first nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. It's widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and it's in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. We're talking about friend of the show, Press NH Now. His real name is Mark. He is currently facing some ridiculous so-called criminal charges for apparently not getting out of his car fast enough when he was illegally detained in Hillsboro, New Hampshire, on suspicion of violating a restraining order that didn't actually exist. It used to exist, but it wasn't in place, and it hadn't been in place for the majority of a year when Hillsboro PD pulled him over and then ultimately arrested him, charging him with disobeying an officer, then later changing that charge to resisting detention, again, for not getting out of the car fast enough. When he was trying to tell the officer, look, dude, just look up this restraining order, pull it up in your system, and you'll see that it's been vacated. Officer wouldn't do it. Let's go to the phones here, because there's something that's way worse about this case coming up that has a much larger implication against freedom of speech and freedom of the press. We'll tell you about that coming up. But first, Tim is in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Jay.
So here in Florida, we have something similar to resisting detention, and it's called, you might be familiar with this. I know you used to live in Florida.
Yeah.
It's called resisting a law enforcement officer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually, people on the street, they'll be like, oh, I got arrested for resisting arrest. But it's actually not resisting arrest. It's resisting a law enforcement officer. And what that means is that somehow, and it can even be verbal, although there has been a federal precedent which says they really shouldn't be able to do this, and my attorney did try to fight it. But anyway, the situation with me was in 2017, I got wasted. I had a heated verbal outburst at my female roommate. Absolutely, I was in the wrong.
Hmm.
The police were called. There was no physical altercation at all. And after some verbal back and forth with the police officer, he basically slammed me against the hood of his car, cuffed me. I asked him what I was being arrested for. He told me for resisting arrest. And preceding that, like, he actually used that term, resisting arrest, which mm-hmm. is incorrect. But preceding that, I've been really mouthy with him, telling him that I don't recognize the law of the land, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically, I was just talking over him, and he got sick of it. I was giving him a headache, kind of like the band director that got tased. Mm-hmm. I was just giving the guy a headache. And so he slammed me against the car, took me in. And on my court date, Nicole, I shouldn't even say her name, but anyway, the roommate,
mm-hmm.
she didn't show up to the summons because she wasn't mm-hmm. even interested. She just wanted me out of there. She didn't want me to get in trouble. But, in
so
Florida,
she was the witness against you, and she didn't want to pursue this, is what you're saying.
Right. She mm-hmm. she had no interest in punishing me. And she just wanted me out.
Okay.
And I get it. And basically, though, as you probably know, in Florida, once they know about a crime, not sure if this would be criminal or civil, but basically once they know of a crime, they continue to prosecute it. And if that's not relevant, basically the judge was like, the attorney was like, yeah, you don't have a crime against him. He was trying to get the whole thing dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge was like, well, he was totally intoxicated, which means I could force him into a drug court. But if you don't want that, then agree to this restraining order. And so, like, we had a quick aside. We agreed to it. And then after it was all done, the attorney was like, oh, that was totally bullcrap. He didn't have the right to do that restraining order. It was totally illegal. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me that before?
Was this a public defender?
No.
You paid for this attorney?
Not a lot. I mean, don't get me wrong. I didn't pay him a lot.
Attorneys are enemies. Just understand that. They can't even protect your rights. They don't even try. They just want a plea bargain. They want the easy way out of it. In fact, their allegiance is basically to the same, you know, entity that the allegiance of the judge is. And, you know, if the attorney had worked for a state or a county or a city at any time, they're going to collect from the same pension fund as a judge. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you a little something about domestic law, family law. Well, I guess domestic stuff comes under, like, family law, sort of. Any of these transactions that happen, any of these charges that come about, the restraining orders, the child support, the, you know, to putting a kid, putting you in drug court, putting a kid in a detention center, all comes with money from the federal government. And a percentage of this money goes right into what's called the judicial pension fund. Percentage of this money goes to, like, DCYF. A percentage of this money goes to, like, the victim witness advocate. And all the state employees are trained, and this is for what I'm finding out is blanket across all the states. All the state employees are educated on how to maximize revenue for whichever particular entity they work for. Even the school teachers are. And so a lot of these liberal arts colleges, these, you know, universities have, like, a maximize. So here in New Hampshire, it's maximizing revenue for DCYF, Granite State University. A family member of mine who is actually a psychiatrist and worked in the public school system told me the same exact thing, that she took a college course when she was in college on how basically to maximize revenue for the, like, I don't know if it was the teachers union or Department of Education, something like that. And what they are all taught is that your pension depends on a few things. More people coming in to work for the state, because the pensions are all Ponzi scheme. And also, your pension depends very much on federal money. If it wasn't for federal money coming into the system, you basically, they say that you're not going to have a pension, or your pension's going to be weak, or the pension could fail. And so there's a big incentive for of these state employees to do whatever they can to get the federal money into the system. And almost all these federal grants kick some percentage of money somehow into the pension funds for teachers unions, for judicial pension fund, for police officer pencils.
So basically all the state people are going to be against secession because they know that's where their bread's buttered.
And also, like, a farmer I deal with here, he runs agricultural plates on one of his trucks. He had a Merrimack County sheriff pull up behind him in a Dunkin' Donuts. He went in there to go grab a coffee, and he had, you know, he's had his farm truck, and he's just stopping to get a coffee.
Right.
And the guy pulls right in behind him, and he says, I need to know where you're from and where you're going, because the way the agricultural plates are in New Hampshire, you have, like, a certain radius. I forget how many miles it is that, like, you can run them, and only certain places you can run them. You can't just, you know, travel everywhere with them.
I see.
And so the guy was, like, 6 miles from his farm. He was totally within the whatever the limit is. And so this farmer says to me, what does he care? I says, he cares because if he can write you a ticket, this further secures his pension. And he and these cops are all educated that they
you
need
think
to
they
write,
know that, huh?
It is intentional, and yes, absolutely, they do know that. I actually had a DOT cop explain this to me years ago. After him and I had, you know, some battles back and forth in Massachusetts, I'm like, why are you guys so aggressive? And he goes, about this stuff, why do you guys care? And they're like, if you're misusing farm plates, we're going to write you a ticket, and then you're not going to be able to have a farm plate. Massachusetts was the farm plate. And then that's going to force you to register a commercial plate. And this is also why they harass people for having, like, dual wheel trucks, and they'll have, like, a passenger plate in Massachusetts. New Hampshire doesn't have, like, New Hampshire's passenger plate doesn't really even matter, but they'll want you to have, like, a commercial plate, or what's called an apportioned plate, on, like, a dual wheel truck or a truck just being used for a business. So they'll pull people over for running these dual wheel trucks with passenger plates in Massachusetts, because it's like triple or quadruple the money to register a truck, like, commercial, than it is to do it through what's called passenger plate. And like, farm plates are dirt cheap compared to, and agricultural plates are dirt cheap. It's also why they harass people. Like, if you're, like, you know, if you have, like, a 30-year-old pickup truck with antique plates on it, and you got a ladder rack on it and a ladder, and you're driving around, they'll totally nail you.
Because that's quote-unquote commercial.
Quote-unquote commercial. And what happens in Massachusetts, all the state troopers are actually what they call registry cops. So like 30, 40 years ago, they had state troopers, town cops, and county sheriffs, and then they had what's called registry cops. And registry cops were the ones that did, like, you know, registration enforcement.
Mm.
In New Hampshire, they call, in Vermont, they call them DMV police. They'll say, it'll say DMV on the side of it. So, but now in Massachusetts, all the state police are now all registry cops. And
so they're all authorized to enforce.
Right. So they're all authorized to, like, push this thing. Cause like when I used to live in Massachusetts, I had, all my stuff registered in New Hampshire, so they were always trying to mess with me over having New Hampshire plates. But what it comes down to is they're all trained and educated that their pension is so, like, you know, depends so much on the Registry of Motor Vehicles collecting more revenue, and this is why they harass all these people for, you know, not having their trucks properly registered, for example.
I mean, I have noticed, and I know we still have Tim with us here, I have noticed that apparently in New Hampshire, the local cops are less likely to write tickets than the state police, and they say that's because the revenue from the tickets goes to the general fund in the state.
Yep.
It's not going to the local cops. So, I mean, doesn't that contradict your claim that this is backing up their pensions? If the local cops knew that writing tickets was going to help their pension, why wouldn't they write more tickets instead of give warnings?
So here's the thing with the local police. So they're, like, with the exception of the chief of police, from what I understand, there's two types of pension things for the employees, town employees and county and state employees in New Hampshire. So you have, like, low-level bureaucrats, which would be, like, a private firefighter or, like, a private police officer, like, their rankings are private, you know, all these military rankings they have, or, like, the snowplow truck driver or, like, the guy picking up the trash on the side of the road for the city.
Yeah.
So they have a pension fund that's not guaranteed. So basically what that means, if that pension fund goes kaput, because
there's nothing to back it up.
Because there's nothing to back it up because they have a bunch of incompetent, you know, financial guys.
But the higher ups are guaranteed.
But like the town manager, the chief of police, and the guy told me this, I've been talking to about this, that he believes that anyone who's a lieutenant in the state police, anyone who's a sergeant in the state police, and then I can't remember what these other, but their pensions.
So there's
are
more to
guaranteed.
The rank. There's more to the rank than just say there's such and such.
Right.
Tim, you said that your roommate had brought a charge against you, but she didn't show up in court. But the government
go ahead. She did not. No, she did not bring a charge against me. Actually, our neighbor, I made a big scene in the parking lot, and normally the neighbor that we drink with, he was the one that called the cops.
Oh, no, I thought she called him on you.
No. Well, and the thing was, no charges were filed even by the guy that called the cops. It was basically the police officer, or actually the Collier County.
So they dropped, just to clarify, they dropped the charge, which was going to be a resisting an officer charge, in return for you accepting a restraining order?
I'm trying to remember the terminology, and hopefully I won't get it mixed up with a previous traffic charge I got, but I think it was called adjudication withheld.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though that restraining order was part of the path to get there, there really was no judgment.
Right. No, I get what you're saying. Yeah, they withheld the adjudication, meaning that the thing was essentially, I think they used the term abeyance. It's another legal term that, like, it's sort of floating out there in case they wanted to, like, if you violated the restraining order, they could bring it back, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. And who was the restraining order placed against in this case?
Against me. And now this was actually.
But regarding who? The neighbor, your roommate?
No, the roommate, who is actually previously a assistant manager over me, but she's so much younger than me, you know. But she.
So they just to clarify, they put a restraining order on you in regards to your own roommate, even though she didn't ask for it?
Now, it was her apartment in her name. She did not ask for it, but they were concerned that I was potentially going to physically hurt her. And
how did you deal with that? I mean, how do you – you can't go back home to your own apartment. How do you get your stuff?
Well, and it was not my apartment. I was actually renting a room from her.
That's what I mean. You've got stuff there. So do you have to, like, have the cops accompany you to get your stuff?
No. No, she actually, her father, she was only like 19 or 20 at the time. Her father actually dropped off all of my stuff.
Oh, wow.
To the convenience store that I was working at the time, which she had previously worked at, you know, technically over me, although anyway, yeah. So it was really an embarrassing situation.
Sounds
and
like
I didn't have a, I didn't have a home for like, you know, at least a, 3 or 4 days, and I was basically just staying at the store, just like working. Like,
well, did anything good come out of it? Like, you know, that maybe you didn't get so S-faced drunk or whatever it was that caused this problem at that point?
Well, it certainly is a reference point to look back at. I wouldn't say that I learned from it immediately, but it did definitely slow me down.
Tim, thanks for the call tonight. Thanks for sharing the story with us. I appreciate it. So we started out the show tonight talking about Press NH Now. He is a First Amendment auditor. He was pulled over for a restraining order violation on a restraining order that had not been in place for most of a year, something like 7 or 8 months. And rather than actually listen to the Press NH Now, his real name is Mark, and his girlfriend, rather than listening to them and actually looking into it before putting somebody in handcuffs, they just went ahead and arrested him because he wouldn't get out of the car fast enough. Charged him in this case, according to an article over at freekeen.com, charged him with disobeying an officer and then later changed the charge to resisting detention. Now, Mark, a.k.a. Press NH Now, he's the guy who stands up for his rights. He stands up for your rights to be the free press, to have freedom of speech. And so he's going to take this thing to court. And so part of going to court, as you know, Jay, is you want to request discovery from the prosecution.
Yep.
You want to say, look, I want to see all the evidence that you have, whether you're going to use it against me or not. I want to see it all. And that includes, in his case, body cam video, because the Hillsborough Police Department have body cams, and they were using those body cams in that incident, as they are supposed to do. So it is his right to request that body camera footage in order to know everything there is to know about, you know, how he could possibly defend himself in this case. So he received the body cam footage. He then used that body cam footage to cut together his video, which is currently online over at his web, his YouTube channel called Press NH Now. Now, whether it will continue to be online as of the next few days is another question, because all of a sudden this week he received a letter, or not even a letter, it was a motion to the court filed in Hillsborough District Court this week by the prosecutor, and I have a copy of it here that he sent, and it's posted on the article at freekeen.com, where, according to the prosecutor, citing a New Hampshire RSA, which is the term for the statutes here, revised statutes annotated, 105D:2, in this RSA, there are a set of rules that at the beginning of the RSA, it says are for law enforcement.
And right. They only apply to law enforcement. They only apply to state characters, state entities, legal entities.
That's
legal
what you
fictions.
Would think. Okay.
It does not say that it applies to a living, breathing man or woman.
Well, that's true. And now we're getting into more the esoteric side. And I'm happy to talk about that, Jay. But just by their own regulations, there's a bunch of rules as far as how police officers are supposed to use these body cameras. They're called body-worn cameras, or BWCs is the terminology here that they use to describe them. And according to this, according to the threat by this prosecutor, he's asking the judge in this case to issue a protective order against Mark, Press NH Now, for sharing the video that was provided to him in discovery. And that video is currently on his channel. According to this RSA, in section or part 12 of the RSA, it says this: except as authorized in this section, no person, including without limitation officers and their supervisors, shall edit, alter, erase, delete, duplicate, copy, subject to automated analysis or analytics of any kind, including but not limited to facial recognition technology, share, display, or otherwise distribute in any manner BWC, body-worn camera, recordings, or portions thereof.
So how does the legislature define person?
That's an excellent question. I don't see it in this immediate statute. We'd have to go back to another, maybe some other definitions to look at that. But they believe it applies to Mark, a.k.a. Press NH Now, and that's why they're demanding that a judge issue an order against him. They want the judge to issue They want him to have a hearing, which is going to happen apparently on Monday in Hillsborough District Court at 11 a.m. So if you happen to be in New England and you want to stand up for free speech and the free press, you might want to attend this event. It's going to be at Hillsborough District Court. They want the defendant to be ordered to remove the video from his YouTube channel and all other media platforms, which, by the way, this video has been up for a few days, so there's more than one other channel that has already downloaded his video and has uploaded that video to their channels. And, in fact, one of them is a hostile person, somebody who doesn't like Press NH Now, who's using the video. So, you know, like with the Internet, the cat is out of the bag, so to speak. And now they're going to try to use force and the threat of violence to get the cat to go back in the bag and get the video removed. They want to order the defendant to not publish any Hillsborough Police Department-owned video on any electronic media forum in the future and other relief as so-called justice may require. So this is an absolutely outrageous demand here by these police, but it's based on what sounds like a pretty outrageous statute. As I said, at the beginning of Section 105D2, it says, in the first sentence, this chapter shall apply to any law enforcement agency that elects to equip its law enforcement officers with body-worn cameras. So on one hand, it sounds like it's just intended for law enforcement as far as a set of rules that they are supposed to follow when it comes to using body-worn cameras. In some cases, it makes some sense, right? So if you were to say this only applies to law enforcement, then it makes sense that they shouldn't be editing the videos, right? Because there's a prohibition here about editing the videos. It makes sense that they shouldn't erase, that they shouldn't delete, that they shouldn't, you know, do these things. They shouldn't alter the videos. That I understand. You certainly don't want police going in and cutting out the most important parts of a body-worn camera video. I get that. But why would they be, you know, prohibited from copying the videos? Why would they be prohibited from sharing or displaying the videos? Or any person? Why would any person be prohibited from doing those things? Obviously, there's those pesky constitutional, you know, amendments, the Bill of Rights. And I'm not even talking about the U.S. Bill of Rights. I'm talking about the New Hampshire Bill of Rights, which is, in my opinion, better than the United States Bill of Rights. In New Hampshire, we have that Article 22 of the New Hampshire Bill of Rights, which says free speech and liberty of the press are essential to the security of freedom in a state. They ought, therefore, to be inviolably preserved. So that is very, very important. And then there's also Article 8, which says government should be open, accessible, accountable, and responsive. To that end, the public's right of access to governmental proceedings and records shall not be unreasonably restricted. But in this particular law, or this statute, it specifically says that body-worn camera videos are for law enforcement purposes only. So they're not even supposed to give these videos out to people. The only reason why Press NH Now got these videos is because it's discovery in his case. But normally they're saying here, if you were to request a body camera video just because you wanted to see what Officer So-and-so's been up to around town, they're not going to let it out. I mean, so the idea that it could be a criminal charge for sharing these videos is ridiculous. You may get a criminal charge just for sharing this article at freekeen.com. I don't know.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.